Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a rainy Friday morning, 43 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time, 8:50, time for the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that U.S. job growth picked up a little bit in November. U.S. non-farm payrolls increased by a seasonally adjusted 146,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate fell 0.2 percentage point to 7.7%, the lowest level since December of 2008. Argentina has filed complaints with the World Trade Organization accusing the United States of enacting trade barriers against its beef and lemons. Argentina said it is hurt by U.S. trade measures intended to protect against hoof and mouth disease. Argentina defended the quality of its beef, which it said is produced at extremely high sanitary standards. Russia has harshly criticized U.S. legislation calling for sanctions against Russian officials accused of human rights violations and warned that it will respond in kind. The U.S. measure was designed to end Cold War-era trade restrictions, and it passed the U.S. Senate on Thursday afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 13,113. It's up almost 40 points. The NASDAQ, 2989, is up about a quarter point. And the S&P 500 is 1416, and it is up just over 2 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
River flows in the Ohio River system are likely to increase as we move forward through the coming week due to a storm system that's likely to come through the eastern part of the Midwest during the early part of next week. This storm system, though, you should be aware of the fact that it is losing some potency, and therefore the rain amounts may end up being a little bit lighter than what have been projected all week long. We will still see quarter to three-quarter inch amounts, maybe some local totals to an inch and a half in a few spots, but that's about as good as it'll get. That's still all right, especially at this time of the year. And we have to make the assumption that we'll see additional rounds of precipitation over the next several weeks, and eventually it'll all come together and help us to assure that we have a favorable amount of water supply to deal with our spring and summer season in 2013. Well, the near-term forecast offers two systems coming across the region here between now and the first part of next week. I already mentioned a little bit about the second event that's going to be producing the greatest amount of precipitation, but we are going to see a smaller disturbance come across the region here today and tomorrow. We already have light precipitation falling through the Midwest here this morning. Most of it is really not all that impressive, but there are at least some rain showers occurring across a portion of the region from Illinois over to Ohio and reaching all the way north into Michigan and southward into parts of Kentucky. A lot of this is drizzle and very spotty shower activity, and don't expect the volume to be all that impressive. Further to the west, there's snow falling across South Dakota and some immediate neighboring states, and that will likely become the focal point of our next round of precipitation for the Midwest. As it moves east over the next 24 to 48 hours, we'll likely find more precipitation occurring across at least the northern half of the Midwest. Most of this precipitation will occur as snow coming out of South Dakota and advancing to the east, passing through portions of southern Minnesota and Iowa and reaching over into parts of Michigan. A quick accumulation of a dusting to 2 or 3 inches of snow may occur in a few locations, but for the most part, the system will move too fast to have a huge impact. Another storm system will come behind it, and that's the one that produces the greater amount of precipitation for this late weekend into early next week, and it will impact the northern plains and a portion of the upper Midwest with the greatest amount of snowfall. Anywhere from 2 to 5 inches of snow will accumulate from the Dakotas into Minnesota and Wisconsin, with a possible band upwards to 7 inches in central and northeastern parts of Minnesota. That same storm system will be the one that generates the greater amounts of precipitation in the Ohio River Valley during the Sunday-Monday time period. 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch of rain, maybe a localized amount over an inch, will occur in that region, and we'll look for the river systems to respond to that favorably, lifting those river levels somewhat. In the meantime, neither this first storm system expected here early in the weekend or the one for early next week are going to produce enough precipitation in the lower Missouri River Valley or the middle Mississippi Valley to cause any kind of a change in the river flows there. River levels will actually continue to decline across some of that region because of two factors. Number one, the damming operations that are occurring upstream on the Missouri, and number two, the colder temperatures that are going to occur in the upper Midwest that will actually induce some ice development in the upper Mississippi River Basin as we go forward through the week next week. Also, snow will fall across a big part of the upper Midwest, and obviously snow is not going to add any moisture to the river systems until it starts to melt. Temperatures across the region are expected to turn colder next week, but we're going to still see some mild to warm conditions for a little while. We'll look for high temperatures this afternoon to run primarily in the 40s and 50s across a big part of the Midwest, with a few 60s near the Ohio River and a few 20s in the far northwest. By the time we get to the end of the weekend, early next week, we'll see single-digit and teen highs in the northwestern Corn Belt, and we'll eventually bring 30s and 40s into the southeastern part of the region. Before that happens, though, we may actually see a couple 70-degree highs occur near the Ohio River, maybe late in the weekend. I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Private exporters reported to USDA this morning sale of 115,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 2012-13 marketing year. The marketing year for beans began on September 1st. Let's look at the composite numbers this morning. In Kansas City, December wheat, these are electronics, 895 down 3. March 9, 11 and a quarter, now 9, 11 even down 1. December wheat in Chicago, 841 and a quarter, down 4. December corn, 742 and a half, down 5 and a quarter. July, 741 down 6. March 14, go out all the way to there, 648 and a half, down 3. January soybeans, 1479 and three quarters, down 11 and a half. July, 1442 and a quarter, down 9 and a quarter. November 13, 1326 and a half, down 8 and a quarter. December soybean meal, 455.50, down 2.50. December soybean oil, 50.95, up 8 cents. December live cattle, 125.90, down 17 and a half. January feeders, 148.47 and a half, and they are up 20. December lean hogs, 82.65, and they are down 80. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, it looks like soybeans, based on the strength of that sale, had a little bit of a rally, carried through a little bit on the overnight. But now we're seeing profit-taking after we bang into the 50-day moving average in the January contract, and now we're looking at a potential hook reversal lower.
Yeah, I think we need to finish the day out here, Dave, but I think we have some resistance up here in this. I'm looking at the March futures around this 1496 to 1505. I think we got some resistance up there. I guess I think with the sales that we continue to make here, that's going to provide the support under the market for right now, and we may see a back off from that resistance level, but I'm not sure that I don't see that get bought from probably China.
Well, we have seen soybeans rally quite a bit recently, so maybe we do turn sideways for a bit.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I guess I think we could see continue to see a little bit of a trading range here. I mean, we had kind of been moving up against the top of the downtrending channel, and we broke through that. And I think that downtrending channel now becomes kind of the support level that we have on the soybeans at this point.
Tell you what, the commodity that caught my eye the most yesterday was in the livestock, and it was feeders, and just massive losses yesterday.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Dave, I was out of the office yesterday most of the day. We had our annual meeting here and didn't get to see a lot of the reasons for that. But I suppose that we probably are going to see some of that as we start to see some new animals come on here. I'm not sure what the reason was for that, to be honest with you.
All right, Bill, thanks much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn, 742 and three quarters, down 5. July, 741, down 6. December 13, 640 and three quarters, down 2 and three quarters. January soybeans, 1479 and a half, down 11 and three quarters. July, 1442 and a half, down 9. November, 1326 and a quarter, down 8 and a half. December soybean meal, 453.80, down 420. December soybean oils, 50.95, up 8 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.